Starting in verse 36. Last week, Joel had the end of verse 35. Others were tortured, refusing to accept release in order to obtain a better resurrection. Today, we have others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, persecuted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground.
So as we look at this, faith is sort of an interesting concept. I don't know about you, but I grew up in a tradition that had a lot of interesting ways that they viewed faith. And one of those ways, and I think it's actually biblical. It's found in Scripture, but it was kind of like faith was this sort of person who could really pray, and if like that certain person prayed, then you would know that there was faith developed. Like, oh, you need to have such and such person pray for you because they have great faith, and kind of like you would sort of, you know, wheel people around the sanctuary who needed prayer or whatever. And I think that there is that, right? There is a gift of faith that we see in Scripture, right? And so on the one hand, there is that kind of element of faith. But oftentimes, I think when we think about faith, we're thinking about how we will somehow be delivered from something. Like if there's faith, then ta-da, in the end, it kind of works out. Whether that's consciously or subconsciously, I think it's there somewhere. You know, somebody gets sick or whatever. I think the end result for a lot of believers is like, well, ultimately, we'll definitely be healed. And we all definitely die. And so that is a really hard concept, right, to wrap our minds around. I don't want us to limit at all that, but I do want us to look at this very sober scripture, which talks about how faith didn't lead them into deliverance. It actually led them to death. By faith, they were tortured. By faith, they were sawn in two. By faith, I mean, faith actually leads them into danger. And I think that sometimes as Christians, we view the opposite. So we're going to buckle up here, and we're going to look at a lot of verses. In fact, if somebody could help me, there's some papers right here on the seat, and this will help you from having to flip around all that in your Bibles, or, you know, scroll, and then you end up getting on the wrong version of the Bible and everything else and all that. And so if I could have our readers, I'm going to have Patricia and Beth help us out today. So if you guys would come, we're going to actually read through these scriptures one at a time, somewhat rapidly, and then I'll give some commentary. But just as they get started, guys, I guess one last thing that I will just say is we're talking about by faith. I think sometimes when it comes to like suffering and difficulty and persecution, I think sometimes we can get in this sort of notion that this is like sort of optional, or this is like for, you know, the real deal, super duper committed kind of believers that whatever that means, but who would endure those sort of things, or that's in a place not like here, you know, that's somewhere else. But I think as we look in the scripture today, we're going to see pretty plainly that this was not just an obscure verse in Hebrews that we just read, but this is a theme that runs cover to cover throughout the New Testament. All right. And so we're going to look through that. So if we could get started, I think Beth, you're first, if you could take off, let's do it.
Matthew 10:34 through 39. Do not suppose that I came to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it.
And Jesus' words, very straightforward here, right? You know, it could cost you your family, he states here. There will be families divided over this. I lived for many years and in a context in Nepal that, yeah, to follow Jesus often meant ostracization from family. And that is true today. So following Jesus by faith, it could cost us our families. Let's keep moving here.
Mark 8:34-36. Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world but forfeit their soul?"
Yeah, interestingly, like all of our Christian t-shirts quote the last half of this verse, but they don't often quote the first part. You know, what good is it for someone to gain the whole world and lose their soul? But we kind of forget the death part. But there's some really sobering truth here. I think it was Jim Elliot that said, "He is no fool to give up what they cannot keep to gain what they cannot lose." Powerful statement. Let's keep moving back to Beth here.
Okay. Luke 6:22. "Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject you, or reject your name as evil, because of the Son of Man."
All right, go ahead, Patricia.
John 15:18-19. "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you."
Yeah, so here we go. I don't know how to say this, guys, without sounding shocking. But these are shocking words. When's the last time you were hated for your faith? I'm not saying, I mean, there's certainly people that just annoy people. They're just dumb, annoying people, right? And they even if they weren't a Christian, you know, people would hate them, right? Yeah, they're just annoying. But I'm talking about like for the sake of the gospel, right? For the sake of just speaking his name clearly and because of who we are, people will hate us. And Jesus says, "You're in good company." They hated me first and they'll hate you also. All right, let's keep moving.
Acts 5:40. "His speech persuaded them. They called the apostles and had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go."
Yeah, and the next verse actually says here, "And they counted it a joy, and they rejoiced to suffer for the name of Jesus." This is, I don't know if you guys remember this passage. This is where the apostles, this is right after Ananias and Sapphira and that whole kind of crazy incident. And then they're spreading the gospel, and then the Sanhedrin wants to kill them. And they're trying to do, and they end up hurting them. But Gamaliel, this good teacher, he warns them, like, "Hey, if this is of God and this is really of God, then it's going to go on. You can't stop it." And so that's the teacher that they're talking about in the first part of this verse. They listened to them. Like, okay, that's cool. But then they still beat them, you know, flogged them. And these followers counted it as a joy, and they rejoiced in being beaten for the name of Christ. Let's keep reading.
Romans 8:17. "Now if we are children, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory."
Yeah, heirs of Christ. And part of that, another translation says, "provided that we suffer for him, so that also we will share in his glory." So this is like an expectation, you know, all that beautiful heirs of Christ, heirs of God language, coupled with that is suffering. It's not just nice worship music, right? It's not just feeling good and patting each other on the back and holy congratulations. but it is that we will suffer to identify with our Savior. All right, let's keep moving.
2 Corinthians 1, 5 through 6. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds with Christ. Hmm. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer.
It's a beautiful verse. Just this again, this combination of comfort and endurance in the context of perseverance. That's what the body of Christ does together. All right, let's keep moving, Patricia.
Galatians 6:12. Those who want to impress people by the means of the flesh are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ.
Yeah, kind of a funny verse here, but yeah, just adding conditions to salvation for people who were not Jewish. And kind of the phrase there is like, they're just doing this so they won't be persecuted. There's just like an assumption for Paul in writing this letter that that's what they're trying to avoid. You know, how many times is that assumption made of us? Oh, he's just trying to avoid persecution. You know, that's not an assumption that we have typically made, but what a sobering verse here. Let's keep moving.
Ephesians 3:13, I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are for your glory.
All right, Patricia.
Philippians 1:29, for it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not to believe in him, but also to suffer for him.
All right, what an interesting word there. It has been granted. When I think about grants, I think about gifts, right? It has been granted to you not just to believe in his name, but also to suffer for him. All right, let's keep moving.
Philippians 3:10 and 11. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow obtaining to the resurrection from the dead.
Mm. Yeah, Paul writing these words from prison. Right? I want to know Christ. Not just in a sort of philosophical, theological sense, but I want to know him tangibly through suffering and the power of his resurrection. Okay, let's keep going.
Colossians 1:24. Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's affliction for the sake of his body, which is the church.
All right, Beth, go ahead.
1 Thessalonians 3:4. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted. It turned out that way, as you well know.
Yeah, what an interesting thing. He's talking to the Thessalonian church, the Apostle Paul, and he's like, we kept telling you, like, we would be persecuted. Like, we've been around the block, we've seen this, this is what the gospel and spreading the gospel means, that we will be persecuted, and yeah, it happened. You know, we can kind of smirk, but man, for someone in that moment, he's just like, this is life in the kingdom. All right, let's keep reading.
Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith and all the persecutions and trials you are enduring. All this is evidence that God's judgment is right, and as a result, you will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering.
Yeah, I think that phrase there, being counted worthy of the kingdom of God, is so important, right? This is not just about developing some sort of martyr complex or being super spiritual or something like that, but this is, again, evidence of living in the kingdom of God. All right, let's keep reading, Beth.
2 Timothy 1:8. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God.
Patricia?
2 Timothy 3:10 through 12. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life will be persecuted.
Yeah, so these are, you know, Paul's words, and he's just kind of recounting, like, this is what it has been for me. This is what it has meant to follow Jesus. This is what life in the kingdom is like. And it's been, all of these things have happened. All these things have happened at this point. You know, he hadn't been killed for his faith, but he's like, I've gotten out of this. I got out of this. And man, that last phrase there, anyone, you know, anyone who follows me, they're going to be persecuted. Very strong verse. All right, let's keep reading.
Philemon 12, talking about Onesimus, who Paul befriended and discipled while in prison. I'm sending him who is my very heart back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel.
All right, Patricia, go ahead.
Hebrews 13, 12 through 14. And so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood. Let us then go to him outside the camp bearing the disgrace he bore. For here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come.
Yeah, this is a really sobering verse. I think a very worshipful verse. If you can remember that they took Jesus right outside of the city, you know, sort of where the refuse and just Gehenna is even used in that way. But anyways, he's outside the gate, this kind of despicable place. And the writer of Hebrews says, let us join him and go outside the gate. Because we're not looking for like this temporal city, but we're looking for the city of God. So we're identifying with our Savior who's tortured on the cross. And that is the place, and that is how we worship. All right, let's keep moving.
James 5, 10 through 11. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy.
Yeah, so again, like pointing to the prophets and their own persecution. Some have even said our main text from Hebrews. This, we don't have any strong record in Scripture of anybody being sawn in two, but many people think that's the prophet Isaiah that verse was talking about. So just as what happened to the prophets, be mindful, it could happen to you as well. Let's keep reading.
1 Peter 4, 12 through 13. Dear friends, do not be surprised if the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, though something strange has happened to you, but rejoice inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed.
Yeah, what a verse. Why are you surprised? Right? I mean, we're all the way, you know, we're reading, there's, I think, one or two books that I didn't put on here so far. Every single book of the New Testament, the pattern is pattern after pattern after pattern, verse after verse after verse. And the writer here says, don't be surprised, right? That things would happen to you. This again, this is life in following Jesus. This is a life of faith, that you will suffer and you will be persecuted. Let's keep reading.
2 Peter 2:3, in their greed, these teachers will exploit you with fabricated stories. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping.
All right, Patricia.
1 John 3:16 through 18, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with action and truth.
All right, great. All right, Beth?
3 John 10. Commenting on the lies Diotrephes was spreading about the early Christians. So when I come, I will call attention to what he is doing, spreading malicious nonsense about us. Not satisfied with that, he even refuses to welcome other believers. He also stops others who want to do so and puts them out of the church.
All right. Patricia?
Revelations 2:10. Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you victor's crown.
All right. Thank you, ladies, so much. You can take a seat if you like. All right. So I'm going to do my best to wrap this up. But guys, one thing I really wanted to do today is to just have us look at the New Testament and see that this is no just like small theme, right? This is just no like, oh, you know, this could possibly maybe be part of following Jesus, but this is central to following Jesus, that we may and possibly will be persecuted. And, you know, I think there's a lot of separation sometimes between like, oh, you know, that was then and this is now. And I don't know, guys, I just imagine Jesus and the apostles, if they were living in America, I have this strange suspicion that they would have been persecuted. I mean, these guys, these men and women, they just couldn't keep their mouths shut. Right? They just kept speaking of Jesus and speaking of Jesus and speaking of Jesus. And guys, that's really, like, as we move forward as a church, I want us to understand, you know, we're going to have a lot of fun together. We're going to get to know each other. You guys know I like to joke around a lot today, and this moment is not one of those times. We're going to have a lot of fun, and we're going to grow together as a church. But we're also, as we move forward, we must, as people of the kingdom, we must go into dangerous places. We must take the gospel where it's never been before. We must go into situations where we're speaking of Jesus and speaking of him, and people will hate us for it. People will despise us for it. Guys, I've been at this a while now, about 20 years or so of ministry. And man, everybody loves it. You know, everybody loves it when you clean up litter. Everybody loves it when you do food at the park. And everybody loves like open mic night when you do fun comedy and whatever. Everybody loves those sort of events. But when you start speaking of the name of Jesus and the centrality of the cross, people will hate you. People will make fun of you. People will falsely accuse you. People will say you're this and that and the other. And so that's the thing, guys. If we're going to move forward, we're going to have to do that. And we're going to have to do that with boldness and with fire in our eyes and a skip in our step. There were several missionaries back in 2007 from Korea, and they were in, I believe they were in Afghanistan, and they were, they were told by the Taliban that they were going to be killed, and the Taliban told them basically that one by one that they were going to be killed. So I was reading, listening to this podcast of how the events were kind of recalled. And so they're sitting around, they're deciding like, well, who's going to die first? And so one of the men, he stands up, he says, well, I'm the pastor. I'm a pastor. And so I die first. And, this other guy, you know, he stands up and he pipes in. He's like, no, I'm a pastor also. And I'm your elder. So I die first. And then another guy, he pipes up. He's like, no, I'm the senior pastor and I'm ordained, whatever. Korean culture, man, if you know stuff about Korean Christians, this makes perfect sense. But he says, you know, I'm an ordained senior pastor. I die first. And he did. And sometime later, they were all gathered around. They were gathered together. The ones who lived, and many of them did live. There's about, I think, 20 or so of them all together. And they were just recounting that time of that intense persecution. And this is not just them. I've seen this. I was reading through a book put out by Voice of the Martyrs this week. And over and over and over again, this sort of same testimony came up. But these Koreans, they were gathered together after the fact. And they said, you know what? I would do that all over again. I felt so close to the Lord in that moment. And that nothing else mattered. He's all I had. He's all I needed. He's all I wanted. He was it. And these men and these women, they were just full of faith. By faith, people will go into dangerous situations, right? By faith, people will be sawn into. By faith, people will be tortured. That's the scripture text that we're reading. And we have this testimony, not just from ages past, but even from contemporaries who have joined the men and women throughout Hebrews in this long, long line of witnesses. By faith, they stand firm and they give their lives even unto death. And guys, that is where we are today. I understand that there is a lot of talk right now, and people are really trying to sort of look at these texts and kind of maneuver around, and you'll hear people say things like, you know, we're being like really, really persecuted because of my political position or whatever, and I just don't see it. I just don't see it here in these 20-some verses that we just read. These are men and women who gave their lives for the sake of the gospel. Not because their opinion was different and whatever. I'm not, please hear me. I think that we should have our political opinions and whatever. I really believe that. I mean, Independence Day is coming up. But guys, this is no dual allegiance here. It's not like, you know, God and country, right? There's one kingdom. Right, and that is the kingdom of God, and that is the one that we belong to, and that's the one that we should be in, and he is the one that we should be giving our very lives to. And so I know that this has been a really sobering sort of account here. But guys, the verse from Philippians is the one that really stands out to me, and I'm going to try to wrap up here. But I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. Envisioning Stephen in Acts chapter 8, right? When there, it says that his face shone like an angel. He's just like, throw the rocks, baby. Do whatever you've got to do. I want to know Christ. And as that happens, his face is just glowing like an angel. Guys, as a church, there's so many things that we can do. There's so many, you know, we can have conversations, and we will, you know, conversation after conversation after conversation. This is how we're going to reach our community. This is what we're going to do. This is the kind of worship we're going to do. And this, da, 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 da. And on it goes. But in the end, it's just us and Jesus. I want to know him. I want to know him. And yeah, and even if that costs me my life, even if that costs me my reputation, even if that costs me my job, I want to know him. To share in the fellowship of his sufferings. Guys, we stand in a long, long line of witnesses who've gone before us. I don't know where you are with this today, but I, at least in my own heart, guys, it is high time. It is high time that I make the kind of sacrifices that the Lord demands in his word. It is high time that I speak of him boldly. Not obnoxiously, not with stupidity, but boldly, firmly, that he is the King of all kings and he is the Lord of all lords and that he's given his life. And man, if he suffered outside the gate, may I join him in suffering with him. And I pray that over you guys as well. I've been struggling all week because I really, 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 and still don't know how to end this. Let me just pray and ask the Holy Spirit to do only what he can do, because I sure don't have the kind of wisdom that he has to help this be sealed in our hearts. So let's pray together. Father, thank you for your holy, holy, holy word. It does not lie. Lord, we have read your word at length today. And we see the cost following Jesus. God, I want to know you and the power of your resurrection. God, I don't want to be a man who gets on into my years and just was known as a person who just played around, who just kind of did the Christian thing. God, I want to be a man, and I want each of us in this church, God, to be people who are committed, people who have faith that, yes, delivers us from trials, that, yes, delivers us from sickness, but faith that walks into the lion's den, faith that walks into the fire, faith that goes into the rescue, that goes into the building when it's burning down as we try to rescue others. God, I pray that you would give us that kind of faith. Lord, that we as a church, that we would not shrink back and flinch when it comes to those things. God, if it costs us our reputation, if it costs us, oh, we're not cool enough or we're not smart enough, who cares, God? We want to know you and the power of your resurrection. Lord, we love you. We love you. You're so worthy. You're so worthy. God, we know there's going to come a time where there will be no more weeping, and we'll be gathered around with a cloud of witnesses who have been faithful unto death. They will be joined with you, Jesus, who had given your life for us, tortured for us. Oh, God. Thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice and your example. May we follow you, Jesus. May we follow you. Oh, God, we love you. We praise you. May we live to be forgotten, Jesus, so that you would be remembered. In Christ's name, amen.